You are locked into Locked On Badgers on a Thursday. My name is Asher Lowe, joined by Ben Kenny. This is the show that brings you all things Wisconsin basketball and football every single day of the week. Locked On Badgers, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers, at ALOW underscore 33, and at Ben Z Kenny. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button on Apple, drop a review on Apple, hit that follow button on Spotify so you know exactly when we're posting episodes and what is coming up next on the show. Today's episode, three different topics. It's going to be a jam-packed one. Week one, did that change anything long-term in the Big Ten for either Ben or I? And that's outside of just a Wisconsin perspective. Anybody in the Big Ten, were our minds immediately shifted about them based on their week one result? Or are we not going to overreact? I think we're going to overreact a little bit because, yeah, you know, it's sports media. It's podcasting.
I have reactions, Asher.
Oh, I do too. Around the Big Ten week two, we're going to get you ready for some of the biggest games of the conference in week two. And then Wisconsin basketball released their Big Ten schedule, as did every other team in the conference. That was Wednesday morning. Those schedules came out. Who are the Badgers playing once? Because that's kind of the big question there. They're playing a ton of teams twice. You get the home and home with a lot of teams. But there are a few teams every year that each Big Ten team respectively only has to play once. Who are those teams for Wisconsin? Is that a win for the Badgers? Is the schedule looking favorable? We'll get into that at the end of the show. But we'll start, Ben, with week one and some hot takes about anybody in the Big Ten, or we can stay cold, stay lukewarm. It's up to you.
We could start at the beginning. I mentioned this on yesterday's episode when I did a quick run around, didn't get in depth into anything, but Minnesota losing Muhammad Ibrahim is massive news. Arguably the conference's best running back and one of the best players, and a guy that is so key for their team. Tanner Morgan looked okay, and Minnesota battled with Ohio State. It made a lot of sense for C.J. Stroud to really struggle in the beginning because it's his first time touching a football in college. He looked better in the second half. Ohio State will be just fine. But, I mean, Asher, I still just, like, this is still the year to get them. This is the year for the West to win because C.J., like, no matter how good Stroud is, that will just not be Justin Fields. There's such a big difference in what Fields was able to do.
So that game reminded me eerily. And you know who actually, Raul Vasquez at Badger Blitz DM'd me this during the game, and I could not have agreed more.
Don't say it. I know what you're going to say.
Same thing. It was eerily similar the whole time, my feeling watching it, to the Big Ten Championship game.
No, it wasn't.
So similar, dude.
The halftime score was 14-10. That is different. That is inherently different.
But Minnesota was dominating the second quarter. And even parts of the first quarter, they should have probably been up more than 14-10 at halftime. And yet you knew watching that game, they had no chance. You just knew.
But
once the third quarter started, though, but you didn't quite know it at half. You thought they might have a chance. You were getting hopeful. Third quarter started, 2 minutes in, you're like, this game is absolutely over.
Asher, watching the 2019 Big Ten Championship, going to halftime, I still thought Wisconsin had a chance to win.
That's what I thought about the Minnesota game. I really did. I thought they had a chance to
at least make it
very close at the end. And then the first, I don't know, 5 minutes of the second half happened. Like once Ohio State was up, I don't want to talk about that game much, actually. It's fine. Ohio State was up 21-14. I knew the game was over. That's all I'll say about the 2019 Big Ten Championship game. Sorry, Ohio State was down 21-14. I knew the game was over right then. When Ohio State came out, scored quick, I knew that game was over against Minnesota. It was in some ways, to me, very similar to that game. And Ibrahim was absolutely balling. He gets injured, almost like a certain Wisconsin player or two on defense that were balling and then got injured. And then things started to change. So, yeah, there were quite a few similarities.
Whatever. This is an unnecessary comparison.
There were quite a few similarities.
Inherently unnecessary.
Let's talk Indiana and Iowa a little bit, because that was probably, outside of Wisconsin-Penn State, the premier game in the Big Ten. And it was not a premier game. This thing was over in about 5 minutes. It was 14-0 Iowa within the first 5 minutes of action, and they never looked back. They dominated a team and a Michael Penix-led Indiana Hoosier team that, like I told you they would, has lost some of their mojo heading into this year after what was a magical run last year. Penix didn't look confident coming off of an ACL injury, and I don't blame him. That's a really tough injury to come back from when you're playing the quarterback position. It was just all over the place from him. It was all over the place from Indiana's defense, a defense we expected to be elite as they were in 2020. But I think this was more about the offense to me watching this game back than it was the defense for Indiana?
To me, more than anything, it's about Iowa's defense. And yeah, Penix didn't look great in his first game since the ACL. But you're talking about Iowa defense, 5 tackles for loss, a sack, 3 interceptions, 2 pick sixes. Like, this is – like, the Iowa Hawkeyes, if we're being honest right now, are the team to beat in the Big Ten West. And, yeah, it could be an overreaction both ways from week one. But Iowa and Wisconsin going into the year, I thought Wisconsin would be better and would have the inside track, mainly because that game is in Madison. But still, like, this Iowa Hawkeye team is for real. Last season was not a fluke. They can still beat the hell out of you. And Spencer Petras only needs to throw 145 yards, 13 of 27 passing for them to win. And if they could win and he throws like that, then they'll be damn good, because I don't think he's going to give you much more.
The scariest part to me of this Iowa team is actually their schedule, Ben, outside of that road game against Wisconsin, because if the Badgers slip up again in conference, whether it be to Michigan, whether it be at Minnesota last week of the season, I don't see a super clear Iowa loss on this schedule. You get Penn State at home if you're Iowa. That's going to be a tough one for sure, but I definitely favor the Hawkeyes.
I'll be picking Penn State in that game.
Okay. I'm about it. Trust me, I'm about it. At Maryland isn't easy for Iowa. That team's going to put up numbers, but it's not a difficult schedule, man. The last 4 weeks of the season are, woof. Like, if Wisconsin is either tied or down a game going in to that November 6th week, those last 4 weeks, man, bro, Iowa has the cakiest of the cake. You get at Northwestern, Minnesota at home, Illinois at home, at Nebraska to finish the season if you're right.
I mean, that game Halloween weekend, Wisconsin-Iowa, I thought going into the year would decide the division. It is becoming abundantly clear that it will.
It is. And the issue I'd have is that even if Wisconsin, say they win that game to make them then tied with the Hawkeyes and they have the tie break, so they have the clear advantage, that November 26th, 27th week, that last week of the season, man, that's going to be a scary week, because on the road at Minnesota and Iowa gets Nebraska. So no matter what, that's still going to be a pretty scary week.
Hey, Nebraska won a game. Let's give them a little credit here. They beat Fordham after being tied 7-7 for like a quarter.
I love Fordham. What a school. Big East classic right there.
My uncle teaches at Fordham.
Send Fordham to the Big East. Come on, you cowards. Take Fordham. the Atlantic 10 legends. So Iowa, Nebraska last week of the season, but the Hawkeyes beat Indiana. They get Iowa State in week two, Ben.
That's my favorite game of the schedule this week by far. I agree. That's always my favorite game.
Before we get into that, any last things about the Big Ten in week one that we want to hit on?
Yeah, Brett Bielema.
Woo! What a roller coaster.
First of all, how bad is Nebraska? Aside from that, I mean, Michigan looked good, but it's Western Michigan, so who cares?
Wisconsin. People were reacting to that one, and I'm like, I just can't be
sure. Ronnie Bell, though, out for the year. That is significant.
I think I've told you this before, Ben, but I really like Cade McNamara.
You have told me that. I'm not sold, but
really like him.
Michigan's better than they were last year, and that game at Camp Randall could end up being a pretty big game for the Badgers after what we've seen against Penn State. I mean, the only other takeaway is that this is the biggest down year of all down years for Northwestern.
It is. And we both saw it coming. I think everybody saw it coming. It was pretty obvious from the get-go that this team would not be the same defensively, losing their coordinator in Mike Hankwitz, the defensive coordinator, that is, losing a bunch of first-round level NFL talent, Ben, and NFL talent in general. And you have Hunter Johnson, who looked pretty good.
He was doing the Matt Stafford, Dak Prescott garbage time, just like, let's put up numbers thing.
Yeah, that's what I
– He was 30 for 43 for 275 and 3, yet his team was down more than 2 touchdowns the entire game. Like, that's Dak Prescott if I've ever seen it.
That is Dak Prescott if I've ever seen it. But blame the defense, both for the Cowboys and for the Wildcats a little bit, because this Northwestern –
Shout out Big Ten Ben, though. He could be right about Michigan State this year.
He could be, and I think he picked Michigan State outright in that game. He also loved Wisconsin, so we're not going to get into that one. He really did love Wisconsin. But today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Speaking of Big Ten, Ben, there's no place he'd rather go to get any car part he could ever need, you could ever need, rockauto.com is the place. It's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Do not spend 30, 50, 100% more for the same part from a chain store or car dealership. Instead, go online right now to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box at checkout so they know that we sent you. Rockauto.com, the place to go for all the car parts you could ever need. Let's talk week two around the Big Ten. There are two massive games, Ben. Both games feature ranked opponents playing each other. You have Ohio State and Oregon. That one's at the Horseshoe in Columbus. You have Iowa, Iowa State in Ames at Iowa State. Those are two top 10 teams. Pretty crazy to say that, but they are, and they deserve to be there. 9 versus 10 there with Iowa State 9, Iowa 10 in the AP poll this week. Two massive games that don't really have conference implications at all, but they're still fun.
I thought we do a little exercise with Big Ten week two. Let's play the game of I'm going to say the matchup, and then together we're going to say who cares for half the games, because this is the classic Alabama plays the Citadel kind of week in the SEC. Listen to these matchups in the Big Ten, because the teams that are good are going to stay good, and the teams that are struggling are going to pick up wins against bad teams, and it's not going to matter. We'll get to that. Aside from Iowa and aside from Ohio State, I mean, listen to this. Wisconsin, obviously, Eastern Michigan. Wisconsin, 26-point favorites. Who cares? Even though we do care about what we see on the field. Virginia, Illinois, actually, kind of a sneaky good game that Brett Bielema is probably going to get killed. Michigan State, Youngstown State. Who cares? Minnesota against Miami of Ohio.
Red Hawks.
I mean, you would know all of the mascots to this.
I'm just showing off a mascot knowledge. That's about all.
Northwestern against, correct me if I'm wrong, Larry Bird's alma mater in Indiana State.
Go Sycamores.
Syracuse, Rutgers. Actually, sneaky good game, but whatever. It's Rutgers. It's
too easy of a mascot for me to name and sound cool.
Purdue against UConn.
Also too easy of a mascot. Can't do it.
Penn State against Ball State.
Go Cardinals.
And Nebraska against Buffalo, which sneaky game.
Go Bulls. Go Bulls.
Finally, you have Indiana, Idaho.
Go Vandals.
Maryland against Howard.
Go Bison.
And a final sneaky good game, which could end up putting Michigan into the top 25, Michigan against Washington.
That's also too easy of a mascot. But Michigan is going to beat Washington. Ben, I don't know if you watched what happened to Washington.
I did. Yeah, I did. I was saying all of that, Asher, to say I don't think any narrative significantly changed this week unless a team suffers a crazy loss, except for your Iowa-Iowa State game and Ohio State bludgeoning Oregon.
Ohio State is going to bludgeon Oregon. I want to let you know.
Unless Kayvon Thibodeau can come away with 11 sacks and just never let CJ Stroud throw a pass, I would take Ohio State minus 20.
Ohio State's going to win by 20 plus. I have no doubt in my mind that Ohio State wins by 3 touchdowns. Iowa-Iowa State, I have no idea.
No clue at all.
No idea.
This has to be the first time this game is happening and they're both top 10 teams.
I don't know enough about Northern Iowa football to know if Iowa State's week one performance was actually a letdown or not. But last year, Iowa State was pretty much full of letdowns with a team that people thought would be top 15, top 20. Brock Purdy wasn't awesome. Breece Hall wasn't awesome. And the defense struggled at times. They lost that week one game last year to a good Louisiana Lafayette team, but a game they still probably shouldn't lose. And they didn't look great in week one this year. They won the game. They beat Northern Iowa 16-10, familiar score in week one. But they didn't look awesome versus an Iowa team that looked, frankly, awesome against a better opponent in Indiana. So this is a fascinating game, probably low scoring, because neither one of these teams, or both teams, I should say, have solid defenses coming into the year. Neither one of these teams, I don't think, is going to absolutely explode offensively against the other. It's going to be a grinded out kind of game, but I have no idea who wins it, Ben.
Neither do I, but I think I would pick Iowa.
I probably agree, but that also is likely some week
one. Plus 4.5. But at the same, I need to check actually how I did betting week one. I was close to 50-50. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Oregon State killed me. I think they were plus seven.
Oh, Purdue covered. Yeah. Yeah, the Pac-12 was just full of frauds.
Really? Did you watch?
Except for he who shall not be named ever on this show, because I despise him more than anybody in the world.
Got you. That's back-to-back days, by the way. That he must not be named has almost been named today, I guess. Not quite named. But, yeah, week two is interesting. Ohio State going to kill Oregon, in my opinion. Iowa-Iowa State is the game of the week, I think, just around college football, Ben. That's the game of the week to me. I have no idea who wins it, like I said. And then a lot of teams, like you said, playing schools with mascots that I can show off my knowledge of D1 mascots with, because they are rather random institutions. Today's episode is brought to you by Sweatblock. Sweatblock is your solution to sweat. So Sweatblock makes a bunch of different products. They make deodorant. They make wipes. They sent us all of them, by the way, Ben. I don't know if you got that box, but a pretty nice delivery from Sweatblock to us. The Sweatblock wipes are an interesting doctor-created, doctor-recommended product that can keep you dry up to 7 days per use of a wipe. So one wipe before bed and 7 days of dry shirts. Bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years, over 13,000 reviews, manufactured in the U.S. Wear what you want to wear. Your secret to confidence, a must-have for everyone's toiletry bag. Everyone can benefit from Sweatblock wipes. Make sure you go to sweatblock.com right now. Use promo code LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON is the code. LOCKEDON is the code. 20% off at sweatblock.com. Promo code LOCKEDON. Capital L, capital O, L-O-C-K-E-D, capital O-N, capital L-O-C-K-E-D, capital O-N. Sweatblock.com. 20% off your order at sweatblock.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts for all things Jack Cohn Heisman odds, for all things college football, for all things NFL. BetOnline.ag is the number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, receive a 100% welcome bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers for the 2021 season at BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. A little basketball to satisfy me as we wait the long, long wait, another 2 months or so until college basketball season starts, because I really can't wait anymore, Ben. I'm already fiending for anything college basketball to grab.
Sure, it's been 1 week of football. The loss is bad. It's that bad for you?
No. Nothing to do with a loss or a win. I just need college basketball. I need it badly. Wisconsin basketball.
It's a preposterous statement. Because college basketball means cold. You're in LA. You live in 75 degrees all year round. College basketball means cold weather. I love fall. Football means fall.
What am I, in Madison again? Come on. That was 4 years of my life. I dealt with the winter. I'll probably deal with it again, honestly. I actually like the winter in Madison. But that's a different story. We're not going to get into weather. We're going to get into basketball, Ben. Stop trying to distract me. I finally get one segment about Wisconsin basketball because they released their Big Ten schedule. And Wisconsin, like all of the other Big Ten teams, you play 16 teams in the Big Ten, both home and home, so you get them twice. There are eight teams in the Big Ten that you get twice. There are four teams, 16 games is what I meant to say. There are four teams that you play only once for a total of 20 games in the conference. So eight opponents you get twice, four opponents you get once. Is Wisconsin's schedule a favorable one, Ben? I'm going to tell you the teams that they're playing once, and I want to hear your opinion because I already wrote up mine over at BadgersWire.com. But here are the teams that Wisconsin gets once. The Badgers play everybody twice except for Iowa, who they get at home in that one game. Michigan, who they also get at home in that one game. Illinois, who they get on the road in that one game. And Northwestern, who they get on the road in that lone game. Every other team Wisconsin plays a home and home against. When I tell you those four opponents are the ones Wisconsin has to play once, what are your reactions?
Well, the first one is Bo Borowski will only be able to fix one game this year, or at least one, because they only play Iowa once. Thank you, Bo, again, for absolutely ruining our week. Aside from that, they play Purdue twice, which sucks. I'm already mad at Zach Edey. And I haven't thought about basketball in months. And then you bring this up, and now I have to remember Zach Edey and Bo Borowski.
This is all I think about.
It seems favorable, yeah, but this is still a 500 team in the Big Ten.
It probably is, but I do like this element of the schedule, Ben, because the year is probably going to come down to the last few games and a couple games at the end of the year to determine whether Wisconsin gets off the bubble or not. Yes, Purdue is the second to last game, but I like finishing with two home games, and I really like their last game of the season being a home game against Nebraska, because you got to finish there with a win. I'm sure Wisconsin will be in a position where they need that win heading into the Big Ten tournament. It could help with seeding. It could help with a lot of things. You get Nebraska at home to finish the year. You also open the year at home. So I like opening and closing the year at home. There are some difficult stretches, to say the least. Your first game at home against Indiana is almost a must win, Ben, in the Big Ten, because guess what the next two are? At Ohio State, at Purdue. Good luck. Good luck. And it gets tougher and tougher and tougher as we get into February. That's a brutal stretch for the Badgers, but I like the way it finishes. I like the way it closes. At Minnesota, very winnable game. At Rutgers, probably going to be underdogs in that game, but it's still winnable. Purdue at home, there's a chance to beat the Boilermakers. It's there. I remember in 2017, Ben, a very similar situation, a Wisconsin team that was nowhere near the Wisconsin teams of 2019, 2020, let alone your Final Four teams. That was a team that was not going to go anywhere near the NCAA tournament unless they won the Big Ten Conference tournament. They played a Purdue team that were national championship contenders, and they beat them at home with a packed house.
I was there.
Absolutely happened. I was there, too. It was Frank Kaminsky night. We were waving our 44 towels.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. One of my better memories, I'd say, as a Wisconsin basketball student fan. I think we stormed the court.
I was not in the student section.
We definitely stormed the court that game. I remember that. And I still have that Frank Kaminsky 44 towel. But I like where the schedule leads. I like that it ends with Nebraska at home. And I think Wisconsin, you have to find 8-9 wins in here. And I think they're doable. But this team has zero room for error, because there are certain games they just can't win. So those games against, say, an Indiana at home, those kind of swing games need to be won more often than not. It's going to be an interesting year, to say the least. A lot of offseason drama, shall we say, took place for this team. So I think it's going to be an interesting year on the court. If things start to go wrong, which they very well could on the court, and it could be no fault of guard, whatever. I mean, this team is not necessarily built to contend in the Big Ten at, say, the top level, top 5, 6, 7. It's not built for that. If things start to go wrong, I think we could see some pretty interesting developments, Ben, about the discourse and about the drama coming back. So I'm excited for the year. I know it's 2 months away. I'm still really excited for college basketball. Thank you for indulging me for at least one segment. As always, on Wisconsin, what are we closing with on Friday, Ben?
We are looking further into the matchup against Eastern Michigan. We already talked about what we need to see from the team to make us more confident moving forward. But what exactly are they going to face when they go on the field on Saturday?
That's right. We're not looking ahead of anybody. We take it one week at a time. We don't look ahead of any opponent, Ben.
Asher, I'm going to go try to find film of Eastern Michigan against St. Francis, who doesn't even have a football reference page. So wish me luck.
That's why you listen to Locked On Badgers. We get that kind of dedication. We bring that dedication to you. Go watch St. Francis, PA. I believe they're the Terriers. If that was correct, I am very impressed. Oh, you know what? That's St. Francis, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
They're the Terriers. God damn it.
Get your mascots together, bud.
Red Flash. Ugh, disgusting. Ugh, All right. As always, on Wisconsin, go have fun watching Eastern Michigan and St. Francis.